I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby.
What
we
up?
Are Jalen and Jacoby.
No.
What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
The people are getting the start of the NFL season. The people have seen the Clippers push the Nuggets to the brink of elimination, but we start with a double overtime thriller between the Celtics and the Raptors, and it was the Raptors' backcourt. Kyle Lowry, as you see here, Fred VanVleet, and Norm Powell holding the Celtics, winning in double overtime. Jalen, what did you see from this thriller last night?
I saw the heartbeat of the Toronto Raptors use his spirit to will them to victory. That gentleman right there, Kyle Lowry. And we were doing a text this morning, and I'm glad you also reminded me of Day-Day because I left him off. Of players in today's game who I don't even care about their stats. I really don't. But they help create a culture of winning that is so paramount to their team's success. Lowry, Marcus Smart, Jimmy Butler, the Chris Paul, like irritants. Guys that are willing to kind of throw their body around. Like at the end of the game, when Marcus Smart was guarding the inbound, did you not know that he was going to fall? Did you not know he was going to, because they're trying to win every possession. They're trying to win each time. And I love that about Kyle Lowry. And he was also clutch. The threes, the jumper from the right elbow. He willed this team to victory. And shout to Fred VanVleet and Norman Powell, as you mentioned, making clutch plays on both ends.
I often get on Kyle Lowry because a lot of times I feel like instead of scoring buckets, he's trying to score whistles. But in this game, he showed up. In the fourth quarter, we all know what happened in double overtime. In the fourth quarter, he hit three huge threes just to keep Toronto alive so they could extend themselves into double overtime. And that turnaround that he hit, that was a tough shot. I know that on the shot chart, this looks like a made shot from 10 feet. But he's turning, he was fading, had a hand in his face. And that was to put them up big at the end of the game. What are you trying to say, Jay?
I'm trying to say the last shot that Kyle Lowry drives to the right elbow, he stops and he regroups and he turns around and he shoots it.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a tough shot, but that's a professional getting paid to do it. That's his shot. That is actually his move. He is not the guy that's driving to the hole, jumping over people like Russell Westbrook. So he's found ways intermediately to get his shot off. And it looks contested. It looks tough. But he knew it was going in. You see how he just laid on the floor and swam in his own sweat. Look at that. Swam in his own sweat.
Well, on the other side of the ball, the Celtics point guard, Kemba, he was hobbled. He was troubled. They put a box and one on him. He had trouble getting off. He played over 50 minutes, only had 5 points. Why did he have so much trouble getting buckets?
They went over the screens. Kemba Walker has hit more pull-up threes than any player in the NBA this season. So when you're going against teams like Philly and Joel Embiid, and you're going to play Gasol and Serge Ibaka at the five, he's going to get shots. They started playing OG Anunoby at the five. They started using smaller lineups. And then they were going over the screen. They were forcing somebody else to beat them. And Kemba Walker struggled, and that ended up working for the Toronto Raptors.
So if you remember, there was just 0.5 seconds left when Lowry threw that pass to OG and hit that shot, and that kept the Toronto Raptors alive. And now we are on the brink of a deciding Game 7 between these two teams. What is the key to Game 7 in your mind?
Oh, Game 7. Let me see. Maybe it's Daniel Tice.
Yes.
No, Jason Tatum. See, this is when you need your best player. So we can talk about all of the dynamics within a squad, and his numbers look good in the previous game, but he didn't ball. Marcus Smart ball. Jason Tatum didn't ball. They need him to ball in game 7. An all-NBA type performance. If he does that, which I anticipate him getting a fresh cut, him and Fred VanVleet, I need to know who their barbers are. Holla at your boy. I might need to come to the bubble. Who cutting their hair? Those are the two guys that I'm going to be watching. But Jason Tatum has to step up for the Celtics. I think he will. I think they advance.
I think so, too. So excited for that Game 7 on Friday night. I do not think we will see a Game 7 between the Clippers and the Nuggets. The Clippers jumped out to an early lead last night. The Nuggets tried to come back. The Clippers fought them off and held on, powered by Kawhi Leonard and, of course, Morris. And Montrezl Harrell looked like himself again. He had about 3 or 4 two-handed dunks. What did you see from the Clippers last night?
The last thing you mentioned, I'm going to say first. Montrezl Harrell got his legs back. There were a couple of times when he were playing even late in the season. And when they did the restart, remember, he was in and out of the bubble. He didn't initially join the team. And they gave him the ball in the paint, Jacoby. His footwork wasn't right. He missed a couple of layups. He got a couple of shots contested. Now all of a sudden, he playing big boy ball. You see him stretch out, take a deep breath, and go up and just, and hang on it. That's when you know somebody feeling good about their game. Look at that makes me feel so good. We call that flushing the toilet. It's just like you've been sitting there, your stomach been hurting, and then all of a sudden you
two-handed dunks. Look at that. Ooh, yeah, that's two-handed dunks. He had like 3 of those. He yelled so loud after one of those dunks. He yelled so loud I could hear it. I felt like I was in the bubble with him. Jalen, that is going to be a short series, I believe. But after the game, there were some very interesting words from one of the Nuggets. So we need you to rely on your NBA experience in locker rooms and in front of press and take us behind the curtain. Michael Porter Jr. is a rookie in the NBA, effectively. And after the game, he had this to say when he was asked about the play calls in the fourth quarter.
You had 15 points in the first half, and I don't think you scored in the second half. Did they do something differently, or what did you see in that second half?
No, I just didn't touch the ball. They didn't do anything differently.
So, Mike, when that happens, is that a situation where you just need to demand the ball more on offense, you're looking for sets to be run, or you need to cut more? What are you looking to do to get yourself more involved when you're not touching the ball?
I mean, that's really up to the play calls. It's really up to the coaches who they want to put the ball in whose hand. We kept going to Yoke and Maul, and that's, you know, I think that's they're two amazing players, so you can never get mad at that. But I just think to beat that team, we got to get more players involved. We got to move the ball a little bit better. We can't be predictable against that team.
Jalen, whether he has a point or not, from a strategic standpoint, what do you think about him sort of openly criticizing the coaches in the postgame in the playoffs as a rookie? Take us behind the curtain.
2 words, rookie mistake. This the biggest stage in basketball, Jacoby. And take it from somebody that's actually been a member of the Denver Nuggets and played in playoff games. You don't air dirty laundry. Growing up, there were times where my mom used to always say, whatever goes on in this house, stay in this house. That's how you're supposed to approach situations like that. And the disconnect, however, is classic young player. And by the way, there is no person in the national media that has been on the Michael Porter Jr. bandwagon from the day he got drafted than me. Facts. In the Denver Nuggets. Facts. No person, not one. However, this is going to be in the learning experience to help propel his career, because he is going to be a superstar in the league. I'm saying that to this microphone. He's going to be a superstar. But as a young player, he's speaking like one. And I'm going to tell you what he said to let me know the disconnect. He mentioned play calls. Dog, you play with an all-NBA center that initiates offense like nobody else in the league. You played with Jamal Murray
in the previous series.
Correct. Who put up numbers like Michael Jordan had not put up in the playoffs. They going to have the ball. So whoever asked him the question about running the floor, about cutting, about getting his offense that way, that's what he should be thinking. But it's classic young player thing. I need the ball. I need coach to give me the ball and everybody move out the way and let me eat. There was a play earlier in the year. Go ahead, tell me.
I just love the fact that he's sitting there being like, we would have beat the Clippers in this series if only I got the ball more. I just love the fact that when he goes to sleep at night, he's like, man, we would have waxed him if I just got more touches in the fourth quarter. And I love that confidence. I love that confidence. He knows how to not say it in the microphone.
I talked to you so much about having irrational confidence. It spilled into the microphone during a playoff game. Mm-hmm. And it's fine for a young player. But here's the one thing I want to point out. He should repair his relationship with his head coach. You know why? He's going to be there. Michael Porter Jr. should also be there. I think they'll figure out a way to iron this out. He's been in and out of the starting lineup. I think they'll iron this out in the future, and Denver has a chance to have a budding big three.
Jalen, it's been so much fun watching the basketball from the bubble, but do you know what happens? Do you know what happens tonight at 8:20 Eastern? We get NFL football. We get the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, led by Patrick Mahomes with a new deal, against the Houston Texans, led by Deshaun Watson with a new deal. Jalen, the Chiefs are absolutely loaded, stocked up. Everyone got new deals. Can they repeat as Super Bowl champions, something that hasn't happened since about 2005?
Can they? Yes. But I'm taking the field. Taking the field, dog. Because the one weakness they had that I felt like would stop them from winning it last year, they even addressed that with your guy. And I know you want to talk about him, so their run game is going to be money. But the reason why I'm taking the field is I don't see NFL teams repeat to winning the Super Bowl very often.
Doesn't happen.
It could be injuries. It could be a bad game. And what happens when teams win the championship? And I reminded myself of this watching Last Dance. When somebody wins the championship, the media and fans rehash that game and that season and those series like they just blew everybody out. Like, there are times the KC could have lost now. There are times.
Absolutely. They came from behind. They came from behind a lot.
Yeah. Right. They were down a lot. They were just, like, they were just undefeated last year and won every game by 21.
That's not
like,
how that it ain't happened. That's not how it went.
Patrick Mahomes is outstanding. So is Kelce. So is Hill. They're going to be amazing to watch. But if I had to pick who's going to win the Super Bowl, I'm taking the field.
Quickly, let's talk about the other side of the ball. Deshaun Watson has a brand new deal, and with that comes expectations. What are realistic expectations for Deshaun Watson and the Texans quickly?
Win a playoff game. As long as you got him under center and people in front of him that can block, that's what I expect from what he is. An elite quarterback. I believe that he has what it takes. And I am not a fan of Bill O'Brien's personnel moves. We've had the Cheetah on this show. We've had DeAndre Hopkins on this show. I would never believe the same summer that somebody trades DeAndre Hopkins that they can re-sign Deshaun Watson. I would have never conceived that happening in the same offseason.
Something else you will not believe is the team that's reportedly making a run at Giannis Antetokounmpo. I will tell you what team that is right after this.
Stay tuned.
You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Nope.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by RE/MAX. Nobody in the world sells more real estate than RE/MAX. And the full flavors of the new Fall Blizzard Treat menu. Only available at your DQ.
Don't forget, you can vote by mail. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Hey, this is the Magic Man, and you're watching my homeboy, Jalen and Jacoby.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, I'm worried about this one. It's the don't get fired topic of the day.
And now, the don't get fired topic of the day.
Before we offer our irresponsible analysis of this topic, we start with a real journalist. Our colleague, Adrian Wojnarowski, says that Daniel House Jr.'s status for the remainder of the Western Conference semifinals is in jeopardy as the NBA probes a potential violation of bubble protocol. Our former colleague and friend, Chris Haynes, has reported that he's under investigation for allowing a female COVID-19 tester into his hotel room and violating the policy. Jalen, did he just want a really thorough test? He just wanted to make sure that he tested positive, didn't test positive. I feel like this is not a violation of protocol. This is him just being extra safe. What do you think?
I think that you can't put your team and yourself in this situation, in particular during the playoffs, under the restrictions and the guile of knowing that you're playing against the Lakers. You're a really productive performer. You play up front. They need your three-point shooting. They need your defense. And you got to think a lot of times with this head. And for all of the people that have been in the bubble, we've talked about this a lot. And those ladies, I'm telling you, the ones that work there, I'm pretty sure, like I said, it's probably dudes coming at them all of the time. Pretty sure he ain't the first person to come at her.
Jalen.
Just unfortunate,
let me just say this,
man.
Though. Like, I understand there's protocol, there's strict rules and all that, but let me just say this. If this happened and both of them still test negative for COVID-19, I feel like him missing the rest of the Western Conference semifinals is too strong of a punishment. Seriously, they're in there for 2 months. They're interacting with people. They didn't bring somebody in from outside the bubble. It wasn't like he tried to dress somebody up and sneak them in the hotel like that guy in the Seahawks did. This is someone who's part of the bubble community, who's a testing official, who tests negative. If Daniel House also tests negative, he's already missed one game. Why not let him play in game four? Answer that question.
Because there are certain rules and regulations. I was watching tennis the other day, and I saw Djokovic hit the line judge in the neck with the tennis ball. He did it accidentally. He immediately apologized, but then all of a sudden they went into the rule book and they realized that that's the rule, dog. That's the rule. We know it's the U.S. Open. We know it's on television. We know you're the favorite. Same thing here. It's a rule, Jacoby. If you allow him to bend this rule, now you open up Pandora's box for everybody else.
Well, I think this really damages the Rockets' chances of beating the Lakers, not just tonight, but in this series. And I also think the dominoes will fall. Mike D'Antoni will no longer be the coach. So Mike D'Antoni is going to be coaching another team this year, in part because Daniel House had a testing official in his room. That is just wild to me. So what do you think this changes in this series?
I think this changes the Houston Rockets from having the potential to make this a long series to possibly not winning another game. That's how serious this is. They need him up front. They play small ball. The Lakers play tall ball. He's one of the tallest people that they use, and he's not going to be out there.
If I'm Daniel House, I'm telling the female testing official that all we did in that room was just do a swab and make sure that I was testing negative for COVID-19. It is time for some unfounded, irresponsible speculation about Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks. Jalen, my man KOC of The Ringer has a report that the Los Angeles Clippers are among the teams interested in bringing Giannis Antetokounmpo on board. Now, every team in the NBA wants Giannis Antetokounmpo, but he points to the relationship between Doc Rivers and Giannis as a potential factor in making this happen. Does this sound realistic to you, Mr. Rose?
I'm pretty sure he probably has a relationship with Doc, but guess what? He plays in the NBA. He got a relationship with a lot of people. Giannis will look good in Detroit as well. Oh, as a matter of fact, you could put him with any team. I don't believe over the next couple of years, the Bucks should or will trade him. You have to just let him walk. You don't trade him. And then B, once he plays a couple of more seasons, at that point, if he decides to leave, it won't be to the Clippers, dog. I believe it'll be the Pat Riley and the Miami Heat. So if he does leave Milwaukee, I believe that's where he'll end up.
I feel like this is a conversation for the next offseason, not this offseason. I think Giannis has made it very clear that he plans on playing next season, the entire next season with Milwaukee, and then either signing with them or another team. But one thing I don't see him happening is them starting out 10-30 and then him demanding a trade a la Anthony Davis. I just do not see that happening. But I also, I'm getting another report, Jalen, about your Detroit Pistons. They are going to land Antetokounmpo this offseason. Kostas Antetokounmpo this offseason. We'll be back. You are watching Jalen and Jacoby. Make sure you stay tuned. You got to give the people, give
the people what they want. Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by RE/MAX. Nobody in the world sells more real estate than RE/MAX.
Big WNBA game tonight on ESPN2. The second-seeded Aces go up against the fourth-seeded Lynx. That is 8 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, as much as we love to talk about the game on the court, we must remember the fight against social injustice off the court. And part of the way we do that is highlight a message in the back of NBA jerseys every single day. It's time for messages of the movement. Jalen, today's message is one of the strongest. It is Black Lives Matter. What does that mean to you?
I'm proud of the NBA for embracing its players and allowing them to express themselves at work, because there's a lot of pain happening right now amongst Black and brown people with our treatment in the United States of America. And so many times, it seems like our bodies aren't valuable, whether it's the prison system, whether it's brutality and murders by the police. And the term Black Lives Matter doesn't suggest that all lives don't matter. I assume that that would be obvious. It basically means that it seems like regardless to what continues to happen to Black people in this country, and we continue to allow the masses to acknowledge and hear our pain, it seems like it falls on deaf ears. Today's message of the movement, Black Lives Matter.
Jalen, tonight is one of the biggest nights in sports all year. We have the WNBA, the NBA, MLB, MLS, NHL playoffs, and the first NFL game tonight. I'm not going to see my family for 1 second. I'll be watching it all. And you can watch us tomorrow at 2 o'clock on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is podcast exclusive. And there are a lot of things I want to discuss with you, Jalen Rose. A lot of things I want to discuss with you on the podcast. But the number one thing I want to start with is our colleague, Doris Burke, making history. She will be the radio analyst for the NBA Finals this year. The first time that has happened in NBA history. There's been a female analyst for the NBA Finals. I just want to start by giving her a shout because she is the GOAT. And Jalen, for the people listening that don't know Doris Burke outside of her great work she does on wax, just celebrate what she is off wax.
I love Doris, and you know she's my sister from another. and it goes way beyond ESPN. She's attended Providence. That's where my biological father went, Jimmy Walker. So I've spent a lot of time at the school, and there have been times that I actually was there as an adult, clearly, when she was there. And I was there for their Midnight Madness a couple of times, and I've done a lot of different things. But for Doris, as a colleague, as a friend, I've worked with her on NBA Countdown. I've worked with her on many games. We've talked so much sports and life. You know, had great dinners and beverages and just talked about, you know, being groundbreaking people in this industry. We felt like we had that in common in a lot of ways. Her not only being a woman working in a male-dominated industry, but me being a black guy working in a white-dominated industry. We talk a lot about that and how we can be people that break barriers for people to come behind us by doing what we do. So I didn't realize that that was happening. I'm glad you told me. I'll make sure I shoot her a message and congratulate her.
One thing I want to say about her, she's hilarious. She's got jokes. She will keep you laughing and she enjoys a good time. Now, moving on, another one of your former NBA Countdown colleagues is in the news. Do you ever familiar with the Indiana Pacers organization, Jalen Anthony Rose?
Absolutely.
They reportedly are looking at gentlemen that we both know by the name of Chauncey Billups as a potential head coach. What do you think about this rumor?
I think it's about that time. The first thing that people are going to say when Chauncey gets a coaching job is that he has no coaching experience. Let me teach everybody something. If you've ever played a team sport and everybody looked at you and called you the leader or called you the captain, that's coaching experience on steroids. Let me say that again. That's coaching experience on steroids. Because guess what happens when the practice ends? You don't see a coach. You know who you continue to see all day? Especially when y'all on the road, your teammates. Y'all going to restaurants. Y'all going to get it in. Y'all know each other's what make each other tick. And for those guys to still say, you're the leader, you're the captain, that says a lot. And so I'll say it's about time. I hate what happened to Nate McMillan. But when Chauncey gets a gig, I think he's going to do a really good job.
My theory is that Nate McMillan got in a huge blow-up fight with somebody because he just got an extension. So they were happy with each other about a month ago. And then all of a sudden, they have to part ways. Something happened. There was a blow-up conversation, and that is just me completely speculating. But for them to go from extension to parting ways that quickly means something went really, really wrong way beyond getting swept by the Miami Heat. Jalen, I also want to talk to you about this. The Jalen Jacoby fantasy draft is just, we're just minutes away from it right now. Minutes away from the Jalen Jacoby fantasy league that has been resurrected. The Jalen Jacoby, we have a great staff here. Very organized, very professional. They're great at making content for social, for the podcast, for television. Terrible at running fantasy leagues. Terrible
organization you,
when it comes to running fantasy leagues.
Especially you, Reg.
Every single year. Every year, it always comes together at the last second. We don't really know if we're going to do it. If you win, you don't get any money collected. If you lose, you don't pay your dues. Like, I didn't pay my dues for like 6 months after last year's loss. I stopped updating my lineup after week 10. I'm going to update my lineup every single week this year. I'm going to get invested this year in the Jalen Jacoby Fantasy League. But more importantly, I want to talk about your big money league. Your big money league, when is the draft?
Last night. I drafted last night.
Last night. Oh, no. All right. I don't want to hear about your whole team, dog. I just want to hear about like your top four players. I don't want to hear
all
about
right,
your
I'll
kicker
or your
defense.
I'll pull it up right now.
Just your top four. Just your top four players, man. Because we've done this
all
before.
Right, I got you.
And you talk for 15
but
minutes.
Only you feel like that. The rest of the world cares about fantasy. We
no,
don't
they
just
don't.
Give
no,
up
they
on
they
our
don't.
Teams when we no. go 0-3
no, they don't
and
care
0-4.
About your team.
We don't have to say.
No.
You just said these words. You just said, I don't care. I didn't pay my dues. I didn't update my team. That was you.
Yeah, I did.
That was you. Okay, yeah. That ain't me. Everybody but else cares.
Other people's fantasy teams are like other people's dreams. Like they're interesting to you, but they're not interesting to other people. You know what I mean? I don't care what you dreamt about last night, Jay.
So shout to our team. Obviously, you, David, Matthew, Zach, Big Al, Porter, Andrea, Brianna, Curtis. Tyner got the number one pick, I heard. He must be the boss. Reggie Hooks. Tanner, here's what I want to say to all y'all. And you too, Demetrius, our producer. Let me just say something. I know you got your little win last year, and you walking around with your chest out. I'm going to give you a bra this year. It won't be out no more. It will not be out anymore. I'm going to win over you for sure. If you want a side bet, we could do it every week. We could do it every week. Now, let me go to the other league you just asked me about. I had the 10th overall pick. My first pick I took was Aaron Jones of the Packers. My thinking behind that is they got a star quarterback. They got one star receiver. They're going to need somebody else to be really productive. He can run it out of the backfield. He can catch it out of the backfield. That was a quality player to
get. That's your first pick? Where are you picking?
Yeah, dog.
What pick were you?
10th. 10th.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a 10th pick. That sounds like a 10th pick.
Yeah, I was the 10th. All right. He was my first overall pick, Aaron Jones. My second pick.
I don't like it already.
My second pick, DeAndre Hopkins was available.
First wide receiver picked?
I was initially going to take him instead of Jones. And then I took Jones, and still got, that's what, I got both of them. Correct.
You got both? Wait, you got Hopkins and Jones?
Correct.
How'd you do that? Hopkins was still available when you came back around?
Correct. So you pick 10 in a 12-person league, and then four or five picks later, I pick again.
So you picked, and then your second pick, you had Jones.
No. My first pick is Aaron Jones of the Packers. Jacoby, when you play fantasy,
oh, I thought you were talking about Julio
people just
Jones.
Gonna blindly yeah, take yeah. running backs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People just gonna blindly take running backs.
I know.
At nine, the person that fell that I considered taking, I believe, was somebody that's dealing with an injury right now. So I was like, I ain't gonna take him. So I got Jones first. I got the best receiver in the game, D-Hop, this year. And you know how much I love him going with a new quarterback. They about to.
Of course.
They about to go crazy. My third pick, you ain't going to be excited about it because it's deeper in the box score, but more for Carolina going to put up numbers this year at wide receiver. Okay. That was my third pick. I also got A.J. Green, rookie quarterback. Heisman Trophy winner, AJ trying to get paid.
So you got one running back and three wide receivers with your first four picks?
I'm not even going in order, I don't think, anymore. Let me just tell you the whole team.
I hope not. No!
I'll just tell you the whole team. Yes.
No.
Tom Brady is the quarterback. Aaron Jones. Swift from my Lions. You know I'm going to get a Lion. Hopkins. Moore from Carolina, Andrews, tight end, Ravens, A.J. Green, Moss, running back, Buffalo, Broncos D. Von Miller got hurt. Oh, no. Hockenson from the Lions.
That sounds
Matt
like a
Breda, Miami. Oh, Slayton from the Giants.
Oh, no.
Williams from the Chargers. Mecole Hardman for Kansas City. Now, we get, unlike this league, and I want to talk to D and or Reg. So, the league that I'm in, and I know there's like Catholic school, private school versus public school. I know there's a budget probably to do this. But they send an updated spreadsheet from one of those websites to show how everybody drafted. And of the 12-team league, overall, it said I was seventh.
Well, I don't know who's behind
my
you,
bench,
your team doesn't sound great.
It said my bench was third. So we'll see.
We'll see. But that's what happens when you draft five wide receivers. Your bench ends up looking pretty good.
And I got to tell you something else. The cost went up. It's $15,000 this year.
Whoa! What? What? How do you even? I wouldn't even know how to pay someone $15,000. What do you get? Cashier's check? But like, I don't even know how that works. Can you just all you gotta do is get grand?
Here's what you do: you get an account number, you get a routing number, you get a name. That's all you do.
There you go. Zelly's supposed to be safe, right? I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know how to give somebody.
I don't use all of those.
You're old. You're only like, what are you? What are you? 4 years older than me? 5 years older than me? But like, yeah, in technology years, you're like 67. Technology.
Wait till
years,
you get
like,
my age. No. You'll see. Wait till you get my age.
I'm not that far from your age. I just think.
Hey, 4 years.
I use apps
on
my phone.
It's a big difference between somebody that's in eighth grade in freshman year of college.
Okay. I don't even know. First of all, that's not even close to 4 years. And second of all, that's 6 years. Third of all, there's a difference between a four-year-old and an eight-year-old, but the older you get, the smaller the gap is. You see what I'm saying? Eighth grade is 6 years in between eighth grade and freshman year of college. Ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th, then freshman year.
I'm talking about when entering. Somebody entering eighth grade and somebody entering their freshman year of college, that ain't 6 years, dog.
But let me explain something to you, Jalen, okay? There's a difference between a newborn and a four-year-old. That's the biggest difference in age, right? But as you get older, the gap is smaller. Like, my brother was 2 years older than me. That felt like a big deal when he was 14 and I was 12. But now that I'm 42 and he's 44, we're basically the same age. So as you get older, the gap is smaller. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't even argue with that one. But I also want to say a couple more things on the podcast exclusive. Number one. Saw this, I believe, on TMZ. Tory Lanez sent Megan Thee Stallion a text, basically apologizing for what happened. Didn't say anything. Didn't say anything incriminating in the text, but said that he was too drunk. Jalen, soft move or boss move, blaming alcohol on shooting your girl in the foot?
Extremely soft. And
come on, dog.
You know who I'm actually disappointed in? His colleagues. Because they should hold him responsible for his behavior. Because what he did to her is something that it should never take place. But I say this as it relates to domestic violence situations a lot. It shouldn't matter what people in the industry think or you and I think. Why ain't he in jail? Is it legal to shoot
somebody?
Did he
shoot a person? Yeah. I think he got some gun charges or something. That's a great question. I'm not a lawyer. I didn't go to law school. But like, if you take out a gun and then shoot another
human being with it,
I feel like after a brief investigation, maybe some charges should be levied. I don't know.
I would deem the police.
I'm not the attorney general.
I've seen footage of police murdering a guy with a knee for 8 minutes and 46 seconds while he was handcuffed. I don't understand how police could be surveilled to this location. She shot in the foot. He's holding a gun, and he don't go to jail.
They found that. I believe that they wouldn't speak to the cops. They found a gun there that they deemed was his, and he got some gun charges. But I do not believe that he was charged with anything like domestic assault or anything of that nature. I don't know the exact details of the case, but I know this. I've been so drunk before, Jalen. I've been hammered. I've been slammered.
Good for you.
Can't walk. Can't see straight. See two of everything. Closing my eye, just trying to walk down a sidewalk. But I've never, ever, ever shot somebody. You know what I mean? It's like you can't just be like, oh, I'm sorry, I was drunk. I didn't mean to shoot you. Like, I think shooting somebody is violating them to a degree in which you can't just send an apology text and get over it. I wish her the best in everything because she is the best. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is incorporating you into the show. Right now, while you're listening to the show, just take your phone out. If you're listening on your phone, push pause in the podcast. Call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. I want good voicemails. Leave us good questions, soft move, boss move, cultural, regional, NBA playoff questions, relationship advice, anything you need. Stop the podcast right now. Call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show just like this.
Hey, Jalen. Hey, Jacoby. It's your boy Love calling from Nashville. Just getting off work. And I was listening to the podcast, and I have a question. I need your help. This one's for Jacoby. My wife is having twins, and they come in about 2 weeks. And I just need to know, what can I do to be useful? You know, I know mom's going to be caring for him, helping with the breastfeeding. You know, we got mother-in-laws coming to help with the midnight changes and everything. Like, am I going to be useful at all in the first month? Tell me what I can do to make myself useful here. Appreciate you guys. Keep giving people what they want.
All right, here's what I got to say. The only way you can contribute with the baby, the only way you can contribute with the actual babies, that's changing diapers, clothing, and bathing, right? Those are, that's you. That's your jurisdiction.
Right.
Don't let anybody else in the house change a diaper. Now, you said something key. Couple things key. Number one, mother-in-law's for the midnight stuff. You got to have night coverage. When we had our twins, it got to a point where I looked at my wife and I said, we're just going to throw money at the problem. We're going to throw money at the problem. So we had what's called a night nurse. We found her online. The first night that she was at the house, I literally turned the alarm on, not to keep people out of the house, just to keep people in the house. I was like, look, worst case scenario, like, she going to be stuck here. If she tries to leave one of the babies or try to leave herself, the alarm's going to go off, right? That's number one.
Right.
I got a night nurse. Throw money at the problem. Make sure you got night coverage. And number two, you said you got a job. Throw money at the problem, man. Whatever it takes. You got to do all the shopping. You got to take care of all the stuff that your wife took care of that weren't normally your problems. Getting toilet paper, going grocery shopping, you know, and paying the bills or whatever. Whatever you can do that has nothing to do with those kids that you need to do for the upkeep of the house, that is now your jurisdiction. All of that. There should not be a diaper change that you didn't handle. Another thing, my advice for twins, as much as you can, synchronize. Bathe at the feet same time, feed at the same time, put to bed at the same time. Treat them like they are one baby. They're not going to fall in line and wake up at the same time, but as much as you can to synchronize those children, you'll be much better off. Every nap should be at the same time. You shouldn't put one down a nap. Both down a nap every time. Both get fed at the time. Both bathe at the same time. Synchronize as much as possible. And also, just get through it, man. It's like running a marathon. Just hold on. Every day that you move forward is a day you're not moving backward. Eventually, they're going to turn 2 years old and be able to talk and walk and feed themselves. And you're going to get there, man. You're going to get there. 2023 is going to be your year, my guy. 2023 is going to be your year. Also, it's a pandemic, so all you got to do is stay home anyway. You're not missing anything. Can't even go to a gym. Can't even go to a movie theater. So just stay at the crib. Help out with the kids. Try to get as much sleep as you can. And every second that your wife can, make sure she's asleep. Every second she can. Get a twin stroller. Take them for walks. That's what I used to do. When they're young like that, they don't care. They just like to be outside. You can take them for 3-mile walks and let your wife take a nap. That's my advice. I've been through it, and man, I'm not doing that again. I want to thank you so much for the call. Everyone else, call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail, and we will play it on the show. 985-JALEN. Tomorrow, we are on TV at 2 p.m. We have the Chiefs and Texans tonight and the Lakers and Rockets tonight. We'll be back. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. You got to give the people.